Again. First of all, before I begin, I just wanted to thank everybody who were very generous and kind in saying Tehillim in the last couple of days. We're very grateful for the Refuah Shleima of our daughter-in-law, who's really doing very well. And unfortunately, Ladavonenu, you know, the granddaughter that was born very prematurely and under very difficult conditions, you know, they was not able to survive the conditions, the difficult conditions medically of her birth. So that's something that Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, chassid b'chol ma'asav, as painful as it is, it's something that, you know, that's part of Tzidu Kadin that you have to accept. And, you know, you have to deal with that, just like we're dealing with other losses in the Jewish community right now, which are, as I said a couple of days ago, unfathomable. But I just wanted to express Hakaras HaTov from my point of view and my wife's and our family, and also for Avigdor, who many of you know, who also just appreciated very much the outpouring and just everybody's, you know, efforts in terms of tefillah, which Baruch Hashem were very matzliach in terms of my daughter-in-law, who is a very special person, and we're very grateful for that, and the effort itself as well. As we said the other day, you know, when we contemplate difficulties and challenges and focus on Kedushas HaChayim, which is why we move heaven and earth, you know, to try to secure that whenever there's, you know, sakana, you know, and we mourn it and we're, you know, terribly devastated in situations where we're not successful. And, you know, nefesh achas, you know, is lost. But of course, part of the reason that we do that is because we recognize the sanctity of life. Sanctity of life, from our point of view, is very much bound up with the quality of spiritual life, namely the ability to really live a life of purpose and to immerse ourselves in Torah and mitzvos, Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu L'zakos Yisrael, not just, you know, to, as I've said many times, to rack up points, you know, so we'll qualify for future, you know, benefits and dividends. You know, that's how kind of the pragmatic world that we live in, you know, looks at kind of everything or many things. But, you know, from a principled standpoint, in terms of, you know, trying to fathom our purpose in the world. So the big gift that we have is, you know, we have a halachic system and we have emunah. And, you know, we also have, you know, what to immerse ourselves in to find meaning and purpose. So again, even as we struggle, you know, sometimes, you know, the throwing ourselves more into our learning and into our tefillas and chesed and mitzvos is really the right, what the Rav used to call the normative, you know, approach. So with that in mind, just let's, we only have two shiurim before the break. We have to, you know, respect people's needs for studying and so on. But at least, you know, let's try that. And then in June, hopefully we'll pick up twice a week, but hopefully longer. Just give me one second. I forgot my drink. So hopefully we'll pick up then and we'll be able to have longer shiurim also, so we can, you know, make up some of the ground that we lost when I was, you know, temporarily silenced. Okay, so I just want to finish off a little bit what we were discussing yesterday and then move to the related topic of Ayotze B'Shayara. And then if we can, we'll start, but if not, then tomorrow, kind of sketch out some of the bigger issues in Habodek Tzarech Sheyivarech, the intervening things, there's still more to add, you know, in terms of Vav Amud Beis and Zayin Amud Aleph and Rav Gidol Amarav and so on. But between everything that we've done in terms of Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Eliezer, whoever it is, Shnei Dvar Menem Shusha Shal Adam, and the Kaddish Bechite Kurdenaisa, Rav Gidol Amarav, a lot of which we did on Dalet Amud Beis, the Baal Amar, the Raibid, the Ramban, the Ran, the Maram Chalava, Rabbi David, you know, and how those things all fit together. Mostly we, you know, again, of course, the, you know, Habodek Tzorek Shivatel, Gluska Yafe, you know, most, there are additional shitos and additional details that we are poised to appreciate more fully, given the investment that we have made. But, you know, just in terms of triage, I guess, we are going to move on to the Sugya Bedika and Bracha. That's a famous Moed Sugya, just a good opportunity to do it. And then move on after that to some of the Safek issues that come up. Not this little overlap between last year's June, I guess, Chulin, and this year's, which I think is hopefully going to be a good thing. Okay, so what we were discussing yesterday was the idea that certain institutions that are, let's say, in the majority understood in a din, as dinim derabanan, and again, that, you know, that's a reality. I'm not denying that at all, but that there are shitos, at least, that kind of conceptualize them and also raise their significance and their profile. So that what we were talking about was the din of Bedili, which is particularly Mechudash, but I think has a strong basis to say what we said. Kofin Olav HaSakli, you know, and especially building a Mechitza in the case of Chametz Shel Akum. And the idea that even though, you know, objectively, Mivdal B'dili, Kofin Olav HaSakli, and even Binyan Mechitza Shel Asara, you know, do not have the effect of being motzi achefetz mirshuscha, if indeed the din of Bal Rabbi Matze, or whatever din we're dealing with here, probably Bal Rabbi Matze, if indeed that is somewhat subjective, sometimes the kula, sometimes the chumra, meaning it has to do with rotsa b'kiyumo, and it is therefore a function of, you know, what's possible. You know, there are certain dinim that just depend on certain standard and achieving that standard, and you can't compromise. If you do, you know, you fall short. The reason why is irrelevant, or the reason why then becomes a different factor, a factor of onus or misasek, and so on. However, in certain halachic contexts, right, the potential is a factor in assessing, right, you know, what it is that you accomplish, l'kula and l'chumra. And of course, the more subjective the standards are, or the more subjective the goal of the standards, the more this sliding scale and this potentiality factor, you know, becomes significant. And that's really what we were trying to explain. So, you know, whether it is, you know, it's post Zman Bittol, or because it's Yom Tov, or maybe the, you know, compensatory factors of, anyways, it's Shel Akum, it's Shel Hekdesh, you know, that they barely register, if they register at all, in terms of Bal Yirah. So then you can even neutralize the Din D'oraisa or something like it, you know, by means that objectively would be short of being magdir a rishus or yitzia mirshuso, that becomes possible. And that's basically what we were discussing yesterday. And that's, caused us to revisit lo yimatze again as well, because that's obviously part of the story, lekula and lechumra, and yichud bayis and the comparison to yichud bayis. All that becomes, part of the story. And that's really what we were trying to do. So in context of that, I think I mentioned that we should look at, and we tried to establish this in terms of Rabbeinu Hananel, in terms of the Ran, each in its different way. The Shagas Aryeh, and the other Mepharshim that we quoted. So one of the things I told you, if you got a chance to look at, was the Rav Yah. And Rav Yah is in Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Kuf Tzariches, a whole different context. But again, it's a jewel. It's a nugget. Or I guess if it's a jewel, it's more than a nugget, so I'll say it's a jewel. It's a window into the understanding of our sugya. So the Rav Yah, Eitan, you had it? You saw it? You got a chance to see it? Kuf Tzariches? Eitan Kasevitz?
I did not get to see it, but I can pull it up now.
Okay. Well, let's see if somebody saw it first, and then they can wait. Aaron, you saw it or not?
Yeah. He seems to have a more expansive view of what Yichud Lo Bayis is. Applies it to Shabbos as well.
Yeah. So, excellent. Very good. The question is, Hilchos Shabbos is kind of a question. We'll leave that part of it out for the moment. But the characterization is correct. Namely, that he thinks that unlike, let's say, the Shagas Aryeh or earlier in Rishonim, those who think that Lo Yimatze and therefore Yichud Bayis is, not a Hagdara, or an upgrade to achieve, Rishus. But that it's a din, again, in Bayirah, Bayimatze, the Rav Yah, I probably can't deny that part completely, more on the lines of Rabbeinu David and what we saw yesterday in the Tosas Rid, is of the opinion, that Lo Yimatze, well, not the full Tosas Rid, only part of the Tosas Rid, the Schirus part of Tosas Rid, yeah, not the Lo Yimatze actually of Tosas Rid, that was the opposite, but is of the opinion that, Lo Yimatze kind of does work as a Kenyan Schirus. Correct, Aaron? You have it? You just read the. He says, Ve'ela Dikdukim, getting back to, he talks about the Hilchos Shabbos part of it. And then he says, Ve'ela Dikdukim, you have that?
Hold on 1 second. Ve'elu Hadikdukim lo nirinli, Dikshayich lo makom ibod yom, kiditanya v'perikamad ipsachim. Goy shenichnas lachatzeru shal Yisrael ubatzik biado, eno zakuk levayer, hivkido etzlo zakuk levayer, yichud lo bayis ein zakuk levayer, mishum shenemar lo yimotze. Yeah. Should I keep going,
Yeah. So what's he saying? Before we keep going, well, what's he trying to say?
He seems to be applying this din of yichud lo makom to the case in the Gemara and Shabbos about like
which
a kelev or a...
Which is difficult to do if it's a special prat in Lo Yimatze, right? So already our antennae are very sensitive to these kind of applications because by definition, right, they imply that we're dealing with a more objective standard. Now, again, can there be a more objective standard of Lo Yimatze and Yichud Lo Bayis? The Gemara did say, that's the next line in the Aaron that Schirus is Lo Kanya and that this is an exception. However, we are very familiar with a massive machlokas already in the Rishonim and then later also in the Achronim about how to read our Gemara, like not even just two ways, but, at least three, maybe more. Namely, are we saying, generally, Schirus Kanya is more complicated and we're just being mechadesh that this falls, you know, into one of the categories of that complication. I actually think that's what the Rav Yoh thinks, and that's kind of what the Rav Yehuda David thinks. And it's something that one could say in light of the Rambam Shita and Schiras Kanya, namely that to begin with, it's not an absolute truth that Schiros is Lokanya. Right? It's just it's like the Tosri that we read yesterday said. Right? It's just Lokanya that they have in here. Huh? Yeah, actually I do. It's like, you know, the way he starts off. Avagav de Kanya de la Matzi, you know, La Fuke ad Zimne, Mikomakom Lokanya La Fkue Shma di Sromine. Right? I don't know how much he meant it, but at least he said it. So but even more, the Rabbeinu David, and the idea that, you know, with regard to Tashmishim, maybe it is a kinyan. With regard to, you know, titular ownership, maybe it's not. With regard to things having to do with the past, maybe it's not. Or the future, maybe things having to do with the present, it is. Either way, so maybe if you look at it from that point of view, you could say that Lo Yimatzei, you know, is Mechadesh. That we look at the present, we don't look at the future, we don't look at the past, or we look at the, you know, the bailus legabe atashmishim, not the bailus, you know, legabe, you know, titular ownership, genevan gazela, you know, and those kind of things. And if that's the case, then what the Gemara is saying in Psachim is relevant, not just for Bar Rabbi Matze, Aaron, right, but for Kol HaTorah Kula. Because the Gemara is telling us that chametz qualifies for a certain objective application of schiras kanya, schiras lo kanya, and kol HaTorah Kula, right? So that is kind of what we're looking at. Whereas if you take the other extreme, which is, you know, schiras is, you know, either because schiras is the gamri lokanya, or because it's just so obvious that all things being equal, right, what you need for chametz would have been what you need for titular ownership, you know, and you don't have that. So either of those explanations would explain that lo yimatzei is like an enormous chiddush, and it's enormous chiddush about bayi rabba yimatzei, right? And then in between, you know, there are things that you can say. Okay, so which way is the Rav Yoh going? Ila duktukim lo nirin, because sheyichid lemakom mibod yom, right? It's meaningful. So he's applying it. He's assuming it isn't limited. Okay. Kidetanya beperikam of the psachim. Go ahead. Goy shenichas Yisrael. Psecho biyoto. In zokot gemar. Yichid lo. There's already stuff you said. Lo yimatzei. Biyaf. Now that's where you're up to. Biyaf agav.
Go ahead. So the afogav de pirush Rav Ashi taima the afogav de schiras lo kanya kevin dechtiv lo yimatze mashma misha matze biyadva yatsa zeh she'enu matze biyadva umashma she'ilav kra lo sharinan,
which also means that it's again what that feeds which perspective.
If not for the puzzle, we wouldn't have allowed it. Sounds like schiras lo kanya,
and this is really lo kanya, and this is an exception. In which case, you shouldn't be invoking it outside of its context. Right.
So he says, "Awesome."
Now is going to be the moment of truth, because now we're going to see how he handles it. Right. A lot of pressure on the Rav Yoh. Okay. Hasam.
Hasam mishum dechayshin and shema yehana min hachametz v'hilkach bechol makom shematzi biyado aser.
Whoa. What do you think? Something obvious, something controversial?
Seems pretty controversial.
Okay. We read one more line and then we'll go back to it. Ubekama duchti.
Ubekama duchti muchach de hamocher vehanosein chifetz lechabero vehisker lo mekomo dekana ki ilu mashcho chutz mir shusa.
What's the bottom line or the final line?
Meaning what I just read, or should I?
No. I'm saying, what does it mean? What's the significance? What's the implications?
He's taking a more. Yeah, he seems to be saying that there would be a kinyan if there's schiras makom.
Meaning he's universalizing it. He is saying schiras is kanya when it comes to because of lo yimatzei, or put it this way, notwithstanding the problem that he raised a second ago, and consistent with quoting Yichud Labayis in Hilchos Shabbos, because it is a universal rule, he's affirming that. He's saying Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Kinyanim, basically there is an aspect of Schiros which is Kanya, and Yichud Labayis is a consequence of that. It's very important, Halacha Labayisa, right? That that a mocher v'handos in chayfetz chavero and hiskin l'mako miskano, right? So all that remains to figure out is why do we need a separate gzeres hakasuv? So what does he say about that? That's the line which was so interesting. One more time, read it. Hasam ishum.
Hasam ishum dechayshin an shema yehenem in hachametz.
Okay, so what's controversial? What is he saying, and what's controversial about it, and how would you solve it?
He seems to be saying that whenever there's a chashash hana, I guess our havamina would be that there would be vayira by matze, so we need lo yimatze, even though we have a more global perspective of schiras kanya, we need lo yimatze to tell us that in that case there's no violation.
Correct. In other words, in Achanami, that Tzchiras is Kanya, Lagabe Hamakom. But since it's a Makom, right, Shema Yehenem in a Chametz, what do you mean Shema Yehenem in a Chametz? So Chametz that belongs, that is in your non-Jewish neighbor's home and he invites you over to, I don't know, you know, for a post-COVID, reunion, and you go there on Pesach, so you're going to violate Bal Yirah from the Chametz in his home? Yeah, okay, that's too extreme. You know, you can't be there. But let's say he has a little, you gave him artificially, because you have a home, right? And, you know, you have the free run of your own home. And you also gave him a little Yichud Makom in your home. So even though legally, Skiris is Kanya, we're saying, but, you know, the Chametz that's there, he could take it. Okay, that I understand the distinction at least between those two cases. But the bigger question is, it depends on the legal status or it depends on the practical, what is this, you tell me, what is it? We're talking about Bayirah Bayimatze, right? Bayirah Bayimatze is a din daraisa. So Shema Yehene Mimenu is a factor in a daraisa. So I think that there are two ways to explain it. One way is to go back, you know, to an old discussion, which never gets old, and that is by your rabbi, because we've shown him debate, right? And there is mixed evidence, and that is by your rabbi matze a siag of achila v'hana, right? If it really is, then even though it's a din d'oraisa, right, the possibility, you know, that Shema Yochal, Shema Yehene, it becomes a factor is very relevant. Makes a lot of sense. Okay? If the Rav Yah holds that way, or held that way, or holds that way, then that would explain what he's saying. And then the Kamash Malanid, the Torah is telling us, you know, Lo Yi Matze, meaning even though objectively, right, the Schiras Kanya is what you would think is not enough here. There's a Gili Milsa to tell you that it's good enough. If you don't go that route, so what do you need to say, Aaron?
You could say that the sort of like what we were saying yesterday about the Isser Achila being a Shir and the Isser Bal Yira, so you'd say that the Isser, the potential to violate the Isser Hana is a Shir and the Yisr Bal Yira?
Exactly. Meaning, where there's Shema Yehneh, so that means that you haven't distanced yourself, so not because you're really worried about the fact that you're going to eat it, but the possibility of eating it, the vulnerability to eating it, is a shiur in Eino, you know, Maspik, you know, Chutz Mirshusa. Even though it is formally, but it's mitzurav to you sufficiently, right? It's physically in your large, you're still the maskir. It's in your domain, right? And even though legally it's a pocket, you know, inside your domain. It's a little embassy for the maybe for the Nachri, but the its proximity and let's say the inferior psychological barrier, of Yichud Lamakom when it's really your home, it doesn't distance you sufficiently from the Chametz. So Shema Yehne becomes a shiur in Bal Yirah. Now again, this is only it's only a Hava Mina. We don't pass on this. This is the reason you need Lo Yimatzei. So the Rav Yah ends up actually reinforcing two opposite perspectives, because they're not mutually exclusive either, right? One is that Tzchiras Kanya is complex, and that Yichud Labayis could really be Tzchiras Kanya, could really be fundamental in some way, like the Rambam and like the, Nemuke Yosef and Bab Metzia, meaning, and like the Tosas Rid, meaning it isn't all Skiris Kanya or all Skiris Lo Kanya. It's a very complex question, depending on what dinim and what those dinim require. So the Rav Yah is kind of reinforcing that, and by exporting, this din to by downplaying the Lo Yimatzei exception and by exporting it to Hilchos Shabbos and then Hilchos Kinyanim, etc., he's certainly reinforcing all that. At the same time, this part's only Hava Mina. In order to explain why we need Lo Yimatzei and what Lo Yimatzei is adding, forget about Lo Yimatzei. It's just, there's no Bayra Bayimatzei in Chemtzo Shel Akum. Even Shekibel Olav Akrayas, if it's Birshus Akum, or sufficiently Birshus Akum. What do you need Lo Yimatzei for? The answer is, right, that since the status of Rishus Akum here is more complex, right, the factor of Shema Yehne, believe it or not, either as Siag or more likely, I think, as a Shior in Tziruf, right, in remaining Tziruf. If you want to say, oh, because he was the owner before he was Miyachid, kind of a little bit like the Tosas and that we discussed about Behema Sarnuna and so on, however you want to say it. So that I think is very much what emerges from the Rav Yah. I think that's really, really, really important. Okay, so having said that, let's just mention, go back a second. I think there's another possibility within also this within this whole dialectical question about Schiris Kanya, Schiris Lo Kanya, the titular owner, the practical owner, the previous owner, the future owner, the present owner, the previous and the future, of course, being the same person. The masker, within all of that, I think there's another interesting, like in the light of the Tosas Rid and so on, let's say, and the Rabbeinu David and so on, I think there's something else to throw out, and that is whether the factor of Chametz and its unusual status during Shivas Yamim plays a role in determining when it comes to skiros, i.e. Yichud Makom, etc., who the real Bailim are. In other words, is it possible to say that one of the reasons that maybe, like when you're weighing this question, does Bal Yirah Bayimatzei likely depend on the previous and future owner, the titular owner, right, meaning the maskir, or on the socher, the tashmishim owner, but also the present, occupant of the home. So is it possible, again, if you say, Bal Yirah is a siag l'achila, I would certainly think it should depend on the socher. because he's the person who's living in the home, you know, for the reasons that we discussed in other contexts. In conflicts between Masker and Zohar, especially the sugyas on Davdala. But even again, if it's not a siag, even if it's a din b'fnei atzmo, which I prefer to think, a bayir abayimatzei, right? But of course it is, both l'kula and l'chumra, a huge test and testament at the same time to, you know, the rotza b'kiyumo kula and chumra part. So are you likely to be looking at, again, the present or the past and future, you know, owner? So I wonder whether this also, you know, doesn't connect to the larger, I don't mean technically, in fact, I don't think we can pin it down that way, but to the larger conceptual question, you know, about chametz. The more we think that chametz, you know, bizmano, in other words, during the 7 days of Pesach, or maybe, you know, including Gedalit, or we'll see today, maybe including Rosh Chodesh and Shloshim Yomi, whatever it is, but Chodesh and this Tkufa, let's say, that chametz and this Tkufa is a different chalos, as opposed to being like an Iser Zman, maybe the more we consider it to be a different chalos, the more ownership, you know, during this tkufa is also kaveya, you know, for Bal Yirah. Whereas if, like, you know, it, you know, chametz comes in and out, of course, Bal Yirah is only during this period. That's still a reason to think that we care, you know, about the present. But at least if it's, you know, the chametz that we're talking about is still chametz all year round, just sometimes it's mutter, sometimes it's asur, the idea of tziruf to the past and to the future becomes a more compelling concern. So I think that that is something, right, to think about as well. Third point, very quickly.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Sorry, just on that point in the Rav Yah, isn't according to that point in the Rav Yah, isn't it a very strange read of the Gemara because by Schiris Kanya? Because the Gemara is clearly trying to emphasize which parts of Schiris are not Kanya when it brings up, like, the example of Avodah Zarah. So according to him, shouldn't the Gemara be focusing more on where Schiris Kanya kind of like falls short?
No, so I think what they're saying, what we're saying is that if it were not true, I mean, I think what you need to say, if I understand your question, and if not, you'll correct me. I think what you need to say is that the Rav Yah is kind of assuming, implicitly, in other words, assuming that the question of Schiris Kanya and Schiris Lo Kanya is complex, right? And therefore, there are two candidates, you know, the Maskir, you know, and the Socher. And that is something that you see from Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah proves at minimum that just because there's a Socher, the Maskir is still very much in the picture. So once that is the case, that's how you read, I think, the Shaka Patari and the Gemara. Once the Maskir is in the picture, even though we're not denying Schiris Kanya and other matters, and we're not saying it's just an exception, you know, and it's never really Kanya. So then what we're saying is, well, when it comes to Bal Yirah, the fact that he's also Shemayana, which is goes back to what I was saying, you know, earlier, which is you wouldn't say Shemayana is a Mechayev Bifnei Atzmo in a Rishus that you have no connection with at all, right? Like you're going in to visit, you know, your non-Jewish neighbor. I'm not saying you should, but you're going to visit your non-Jewish neighbor, you know, and he has chametz there. So are you going to say, or you hang out there, I don't know, you watch the Super Bowl there, you know, I guess it's not during Pesach time, but during COVID, all the times are different. So whatever it is. So you understand what I'm saying? So I don't know if that completely solves the question that you're asking, but I think that's what you're asking. Yeah?
Yeah.
Put it this way, it's the best thing I can do for this. But I think that really is the answer. So, but I do think that you're right and your Ha'ara is right, which is, if you just look at the Gemara, you have this discussion, you know, about Schiris Kanya, Schiris Lo Kanya, and, you know, there's no hint at certainly at, you know, Shema Yan Ebo. That comes out of the blue. So you're right. How do you fit it in just even to the rest of the Gemara? So that's the best I can do. But I think it's fine. Good. So let's go back to Rabbeinu Chananel now. And again, I keep emphasizing, because I think it's really true, that, you know, this Yesod, you know, keeps getting expressed in different ways, Lekula and Lechumra, and that's totally understandable, right? So going back to Rabbeinu Chananel, this is just a point that I wanted to add and make. I was saying the other day, you know, the Ran and the Ritva, except the Ritva kind of ruined the Tochidei Dibur, but certainly the Ran and maybe others, you know, maybe the Mechitza Gemara and so on are talking about Kabbalah Sakrayas, right? And that's where, you know, some of these issues come to play. But it seemed to me that Rabbeinu Chananel, when he talks about Mechitza, is talking about Bali Kabbalah Sakrayas. So if he's telling us that it's Midin Rishus, and it's Bali Kabbalah Sakrayas, it's kind of like the problem with Rashi, you know, Anichad Bayis, which is like, what's the, there's no problem, why do you need a solution? Right? This was the problem that we encountered in Rashi. There's no reason to be Mechayev Yu Bal Yirah. You don't need a solution of Yichud Bayis. That's why all the Rishonim rejected Rashi. I wanted to suggest a pshat in Rashi about Betzeko Biado and so on. So basically I was suggesting something similar regarding Rabbeinu Chananel. I mean, Rabbeinu Chananel saying Mechitza, you know, will solve the problem. Not just Heker, in a fundamental way. What's the problem? So he doesn't say explicitly, but the pashtus of the Gemara doesn't say we're talking about chemsa shalakum shekibal olav achrayis. Why should we assume that? And a lot, most of Rishonim do not assume that. So if that's the case, like, where's the problem that you need to solve? So what I was saying is, like Rashi, a little bit different, and maybe there's a diuk in the Rach, you know, where he says, you know, when Akum comes and Betzeko Biyado, you don't have to throw him out. I'm sorry, you don't have to take the, you know, what does it say? Actually, hold on 1 second. I'm trying to remember which one says which. Yeah. The Chametz shall knock. 1 second. Earlier, when he says, "Nachri shenichnas lechatzer shel Yisrael ubatzek biyado," ein sakuk Yisrael lachotzio miyado shel nachri ulebara. Okay. So, and is the implication that if it were straight in his rishus and it wasn't biyado shel nachri, you know, that he would be obligated? In which case, when you have Chemsa Shel Nachri in your Rishus, there's Bal Yirah, because the only Patur is when it's Beteko Biyado Shel Nachri. Right? Similar to what I was saying about Rashi. I was suggesting that for Rashi also, maybe the Diyuk is, although it doesn't work so well with Rashi on the Chitza, but, right? Okay. So I just wanted to add, I just want, again, so we're talking about Bayurah or something close to Bayurah, hard to know, but there is a fascinating discussion in the Shibali Aleka, which I did not give you a look at, a little bit of a specialty item, but I'm waiting for my opportunity. So the Shibali Aleka in Shibali Aleka, as you know, is a Rishon who had an Ashkenaz, who had early access to early Rishonim. So the Shibboleth HaLeket in Siman Reish Tezayim says the following. Tan Rabbanan, Nachri Shenichsen Sechatzei Rosh Yisrael, Ubatzeik Biyado, Ein Zakuk Levar. That's our Gemara. No news there. Omar Rabbeinu Yitzchak Barab Klonimus. Okay. Shemikan Nagu. This is just interesting in its own right. Ligor Benachri Shenichnas Lershus Yisrael BePesach BeChametz Biyado. From this Gemara, we learn that if a non-Jew walks, I don't think we pask in this way, so I don't think people should be doing this, but it is fascinating. Shemikan Nagu Ligor Benachri Shenichnas Lershus Yisrael BePesach BeChametz Biyado. That's exactly our Gemara. It says Ein Zakuk Levaro. Right? So he says, Didafka Nakat Batzek Avopas Megarsho Lechutz Vahainu Piresh Zakuk Levair. Wow. So the brother of the Shibboleth HaLeket, you know, disagree. It's very mechudash. So just let's stop for a moment. Meaning Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Reb Klonimus, thought, no, he doesn't say Bal Yirah. And if he meant Bal Yirah, maybe he would have said it. But it sounds like, I'm not sure if this is Doraisa, you know, or Durabanan. Maybe it's a violation of the Kiyom HaSev Tashbisu. Maybe it's a Dindurabanan, but maybe it's a Dindurabanan like Kain Doraisa. It's certainly a very expansive extension, right, of the obligation to rid your rishus, you know, of chametz, that parallels the kind of thing that I'm suggesting for Rashi and for Ben Ochanan, right? So, and the difference for him is the difference between chametz and batzek. Chametz gamur, I don't know what batzek is. It's not. It's only half baked. It's like nuksha. Hard to know what exactly, or maybe it's more symbolic. Maybe they're each just as much chametz as the other. It's hard to know what this distinction is, but it's fascinating. Now, what's also interesting, the Shibboleth HaLeket quotes his brother, Rabbi Yamin, who disagrees. Rabbi Binyamin is, Binyamin, you're listening? He's like the source for a lot of really interesting shittos in the Shibboleth HaLeket. Rabbi Binyamin thinks that every time you sit down to learn Torah, right, you have to make a separate Birchas HaTorah. Okay, we don't paskin this way, but Rabbi Binyamin thinks that. And many other really interesting things. Anyways, B'nira L'achiv Rabbi Binyamin, Delavdafka batzek, el afilu pas nami, ein zakuk levayer, dahashta, uma kishiyiched makom bebeso mutalanicho sham. He's disagreeing with this rabbini Yitzhak, this chiddush, not just batzek, even pas, ein zakuk levayer. But look at his raya; it's also interesting. Ma kashiyichel makom bebeso mutalanicho sham bein tzorach levayer kenamina navala toroa bishalacher bishal gavoa right bedelo kibel ala bakrayas bimbi biyada shal nachri like kol shekain. So even as Rabbeinu Binyamin rejects this more radical, possibly, you know, consequential chiddush, he says several interesting things. Number one, clearly doesn't think that yichud labayis establishes rishus hanachri, or at least not fully, not in any tangible way. Because what's his raya? He said if there's yichud makom, the bayis, you can leave it there, right? And you don't have to be mavayir. Is the pasuk of Ataroy Shalachem Vishal Gavoa talking about Yichud Labayis? Right? And he adds, Bidilo Kabbal Alavachrayas. So it sounds like what he's saying is, number one, that Yichud Labayis is part of the din of the Ptur of Shalacherim v'shal Gavoa. Pashtus, it's a different Ptur. You have Kabbal Zachrayas, but it's not Brishus Nachri, or it's a limit on Kabbal Zachrayas. Even if it's a limit on Kabbal Zachrayas, right, that should invoke Shalacherim v'shal Gavoa is very interesting, is what I'm trying to say. But also, he makes the distinction between biyado shel goy and simply munach, right? Birshuscha chamtso shel goy. He says in both cases, ein zaku klavar, but the way that he says it is, right, b'dilo kibel avachras. B'imhu biyado shel nachri lo kol shekein. So that is an acknowledgement from a critic, you know, that there's still a hierarchy and that yado shel akum is less of a violation or a problem than chametz shel lo kibla lebachrayas shel bailus akum, but it's not biyado. Okay? And then he says, umashinogu ligar benachri, because apparently there was such a minog, which is understandable, right? You don't want people traipsing into your home. You know, it's at minimum offensive to you, right? Hanichas v'rishusha yisrael v'chem tzo biyado. The Shema, he says, Shema yiplu pirurin chashuvin miyado, shol nachri b'shusso, pamim yavo b'hem lidei iser. Maybe the problem is that you're worried, you know, Shema Yochav. Okay, that's an extension of Shema Yochav. Of course, it could have been something else, and I think that's kind of what the Rabbeinu Yitzchak was really saying. That is, maybe if there's no Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh, technically, it's at minimum maybe a violation of the Iser Aseh of Tashbisu. It's certainly not in the spirit of Tashbisu and of Ba'yirah. Let's hearken back for a moment. Remember that, you know, when the Rishonim were struggling to explain, if you hold like Rav Shimon, that chametz lifnei zmano is not a separate lav and not separate malchus, right? So struggling to say, but nonetheless, there's an isra achila, where that was a view of Tosis on Chav Chesem Beis, right? The Ravid and the Ramban on the Chamos, on Dav Zayin, the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos and Kufzari Tes, right? So the member of the Ramban's terrific line, which he kind of repeats in Sefer HaMitzvos, but starts off with in Mechamos. Unlike Tosa, again, Tosa says, like, how do you know that there's an Isra Achila, you know, from Tashbisu? Because it doesn't sound like Tashbisu is done b'derechana. Right? So Tosa and Chavkes, it's like an oblique, it's like a derech agav raya. But the Ramban says, more frontally, right, it's not implicit in the Pasuk, but it is explicit, logically, and conceptually. Ein l'cha hashbasa, or shemutar be'achila. I mean, it's just, there are certain things you know from Bal Yirah about our attitude. And again, this is how I wanted to suggest at the very beginning of the year, again, when Tosis, you know, says, after all, there's Bayira and Chametz to show that Chametz is Chamor, you know. So some Achronim understood that he was saying, well, no, it's a Shema Yochal. It's a Siag Darais. And what I was, you know, understanding was, no, it's, we have Machalas Asuros and we have Isuriana. How many Chiyuve Biur you know, an Iser Shehiyas do we have? So if that's a shear in toxicity, you know, then how could you eat it? Not just because, oh, maybe it's not a kiyum in Tashpis or because it's implicit, even though it's a separate din. But like the Ramban, I think the Rambam went even further and said, Ad Kedei Kach, there's got to be, if there's an Iser Shia Kodim Zmano, there's got to be a Lav and Malkus even. And that was our discussion on Sefer Mitzvahs. Why am I repeating that? What I'm saying is this whole Shibali Aleke, or this whole Minag, this idea that you don't want people traipsing into your home, you know, with chametz, doesn't have to be, you know, Shema Yochal. It could just be a function, again, of what, the Zachi of beer chametz, and it's okay? I'm not talking about violating. You don't violate Bal Yerubai Matzah in certain conditions. But it's okay, you know, there's no Ga'ara either. The Gemara says, Ein Zoka Klavar. Okay. Maybe it depends if it looks like comments or it's batek, how offensive it is. But there is a certain, you know, whether it's Rabbi Yitzchak or this minhag separate from Rabbi Yitzchak, the idea that this is all about, again, the toxicity quotient of the chefza, you know, and that it ends up spilling over, whether these are dinim drabanan or main doraisa or kiyumim or violations of biur, you know, in the end of the day, it's a very important principle, very important ideas. Okay. So, Rabbi, yeah.
Just one more thing. Also, just on the point in Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel,
yeah.
I guess more especially for Rashi, why would we want to just say for Rashi here that if there's no Kabbalah Sachrayas in the case of Mechitza, it's not a problem. It's not a problem of what we said by Yichud Lomakom, because here there's no Hari Bayis Lefanecha, and here there's nothing like welcoming in the Chametz.
No, I think I'm not saying the same for Rashi and the Rach on Mechitza. I'm saying for the Rach on Mechitza something similar to what I'm interpreting the Rach and Mechitza along the lines of how I interpreted Rashi and the language of the Rach earlier. I think actually for Rashi, it doesn't work out very well.
No, I'm saying maybe it does work out for Rashi because earlier on it was only an issue because...
Oh, because Yichud Bayis? Because it says,
right. And here it's just, you just find it.
Uh-huh. So that's worse.
If you say,
I hear that. Okay. Whereas here, it's just.
You just found it.
Oh, okay. Could be. Very good. Yeah. All right. This example, you see, you're going further than me in this one. Okay. I agree. Could be. Okay. So having said that, I wanted to talk about, again, so that's how kind of another way. Although maybe I'm pushing it, hard to know, to read about also about Hektesh, you know, Mivdal Bedili. Okay. So now talk about Mapolis for just a minute. I'm going to have to stop in like 5 minutes. Chomich over all of Mapolis. So again, that's a very interesting topic. I hope another time we could do it. The Mishnah later on Lamed Aleph from the days. Right? The Mishnah says, it's quoted, of course, here in Daf Ches. But the Mishnah says that Chomet Shinofar Alev Mapolas Hareu Kimavuar Rav Shimon Ben Yalomar Kol Shein Kelev Yachal Lachape Sacharot. And the Gemara says on Rav Chizav Tzorich Sheyivatel Belibo. So Chomet Shinofar Alev Mapolas is Kimavuar. Then the Gemara kind of ruins it, you know, by saying, ah, only if you do betel, right? So Rashi, though, on that Gemara, says, Shema yipaka chagal b'moed b'nimsa over alav. So Rashi kind of neutralizes, you know, v'hu, you know, v'tzarech sheyivata, a little bit at least. Anyways, without going into details, which we really should, it's interesting to note that you have the Mechilta about Mapoles, which comes right in conjunction with Halacha Vershuso Shalakum, right? Chemso Shal Yisrael Vershuso Shalakum, and Chemso Shalakum Vershuso Shal Yisrael, right? So those are very interesting. And then you have the Or Nafalal of Mapolis. So, and there it doesn't seem like there's a need for Bittul, frankly. He doesn't say that in the Mechilta. So we already know that the Ramban, you know, has a take on that. Ramban is Perush Al HaTorah, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes, right? And again, the same Ramban, on Vav Amud Beis, right? In his Chidushim Birim Psachim. What's Ramban's take on it, Binyamin?
I thought the Ramban says that where it's shallow, so it's more of a problem.
It's what?
Shallow. So like the second half of the Mechilta is not just the Reshuso Din, but it's also Din in shallow.
I mean, there's a Chisaron in shallow. And that's why you're Pater. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And why is it a Chisaron in shallow? You're correct. Why is it a Chisaron in shallow? Ramban is very specific. He says, because it is avud mimenu umikol adam, right? That doesn't fit in necessarily with the physical mapolas of the Mishnah and the Gemara so much. So that's why the Ramban in both cases adds what, Binyamin?
Delo karina beishalcha.
Delo karina beishalcha, because avud mimenu umikol adam. But he also says, it says that we're talking about in the Mechilta, a mapol, doesn't he say it's like a mapolas gedola? Yeah?
Yeah.
Anybody
yeah.
have it? Kyle, yeah, you have it?
Umotzi na michamit shenafla alav mapolas gedola she'in biyado lefakeach agal. Vehu avud mimenu mikoladam shimoter delo karina beishalcha.
Yeah. So it's in biyado lefakeach agal, let's say, if you want to stick in Rashi's. It sounds like there's no bitol, frankly. And yet this works. Correct? And that's because it's not shallow, because it's avud mimenu mikol adam. Good. The Mefarshim on Rashi, I'm going to finish up quickly, is Perush Al HaTorah, like, you know, they weigh in, like, how come Rashi didn't quote this part of the Mechilta? In addition to the issue of, you know, what does he do with the rest of the Mechilta, and why does he disagree with the Ramban? Like, why didn't he bother with this? The Mizrahi, I think it's quoted in the Chevelle footnotes also. Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi says, oh, Rashi probably thinks that Nafal Mapolis is implicit bittul. Why is it implicit bittul? Because Ein Lecha Sach, you know, Daito Mimenu, you know, Gedola Mizu, you know, given that it's Nafal Alav Mapolas. What he might have added is, and since Rashi holds that Bittul is Belev, which is Rashi and Dalad Omid Aleph and Dalad Omid Beis, so maybe Mapolas is an implicit Bittul, and maybe that's why you're Potter, and he didn't have to bother with that, because that Bittul, according to Rashi, is already included in Tashbisu. So maybe that's why he ignores it. Maybe. Either way, in light of everything we've discussed, I think it's also possible, and I think if we learned the sugya, you know, extensively, we would find echoes of this, that maybe Mafal Mapolis is not a din in shalom, a lack of shalom, like the Ramban, or lack of, or an implicit bittul, like Rashi. And again, for Rashi, this may be true. You know, if it's Shema Yifakeach Esagal, that's the only reason that you need Bittul in the Mishnah, so even that Mapolis. But certainly in Mapolis Gedola on the Ramban, if I want to work in the Ramban, maybe, again, it's another application of what we've been discussing, which is, if if rotza b'kiyumo, right, is the criterion for bayur b'yimatze, right, then nafa olav mapoles, when we say it's kimavuar, we don't mean literally that it's, because that's another possibility. One is that it's eno shelo. The other is that there's bitol. The third is it's kimavuar. I mean, you need, what's the idea of beer and tashbisu? That you have to destroy it, that it should be inaccessible to you. So it's inaccessible to you, right? That's another possibility. But it's also possible that it's not considered birshuscha. Not just physically, or it's not considered rotza b'kiyumo, because you're not neglecting biur. It's not that it's kimavuar. It's kimavuar in the sense that there's no neglect of biur. And if there's no neglect of biur, then there's no basis for bayur b'yimatze. So I think that is an interesting and an important potential application as well. If this is the case, so we can perhaps also suggest as a general approach, let's say, to Rashi for the next sugya, which I'm going to have to stop now. So we'll try to pick up with this tomorrow, and we'll also start to sketch out the Brachos sugya. But and that is, you know, the din of Shloshim Yom and Yotze B'Sheyar. So just to say very quickly, Eli, Hyman, right? Yotze B'Sheyara.
Did you start at 1 o'clock?
How do most Rishonim? Yeah, I'm going to finish in 1 minute. How do most Rishonim really, what's their approach to the sugya as opposed to Rashi? If you had to characterize it, do you notice any difference?
I didn't see too many other Rishonim.
How would you have read the Gemara? What's the problem of the Gemara and how would you solve it? Or is there a problem?
So the problem seems to be, Abaye's understanding seems to be difficult.
I think you have to deal separately with Abaye and not, but let's say the whole Gemara seems strange, maybe.
Because why should it make a difference whether it's before or after 30 days?
Before or after 30 days, when you're coming back, you would have thought that what should determine everything? Not when you leave and when you're coming back, but are you the owner of the chametz? Is it in your possession or not? Right? Now, it could be that I'm already making an assumption with you, because maybe you are going according to most Rishonim, and that is, what is the subject? There's a certain ambiguity in the sugya. What is the sugya talking about? What's the subject heading, if you had to organize it? If you were the Rambam, Eli, where would you put it? Where does he put it?
So the Rambam puts it, I think, is it the beginning of Parak Bet Halacha Yud Tet?
No, I think he puts it in the very, very end of Parak Base. That's the end. What is that part about?
Yep.
What's Parak Base about?
About Tashbitu. And,
it starts Tashbitu. Perik Aleph Halacha, Perik Beis Halacha Aleph and Beis is Tashbisu. What's Halacha Gimel and on?
Bedika.
Bedika. And the final din of Bedika is this Gemara. Right? Okay. That's fine. So the question is, what is the parameters of Chi of Bedika's comments? Could that depend on when you leave, when you come back? Makes sense. So anyway, only a din drabana. And even the nature of the drabana makes sense. So if we're dealing with a situation where, is there bitul according to the Rama? Yeah. Pashtos. It's only a question of bedika.
Okay, good.
But what's mechudash about Rashi? Is there bitul according to Rashi?
I don't think so.
Can you prove it?
He talks about violating Bayur
b'yimatze. Always assume. Oh,
exactly. Talks about Bayur b'yimatze, and he has two chidushim, basically, two opposite chidushim. right? What are the opposite Kiddushim? Yitzchak Weiss of Rashi.
The fact that the definition of Tashbisu is Bittul, or regarding the...
Say again?
The definition of Tashbisu being Bittul?
No. Not that Rashi. I mean, I'm just saying the Rashi of Mefarish B'Sheyara and so on says two things that are remarkable. Number one, that the whole sugya seems to be talking about whether you violate Barabai Matzei, in which case, when you leave and when you return are factors in Barabai Matzei. That's Mechudash. That's what I'm interested in. And then, of course, he has a second chiddush, which we've already discussed. Akiva? And that is what? What?
You're not chayv to the viewer, but that's...
You're not chayv for? Until you see it. Right? Meaning, im kvar az kvar, actually seeing the chametz matters? But that's the what I said. We discussed that already. When did we discuss it, Avi? We discussed it when we're talking about the relationship between Bayira, Bayimatze. That's part of the whole Dion of the Achronim, right? Whether actual Re'ia matters one way or another. They quote this Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan Fisher Perlo, right? So the question is, if there's a p'tur that depends on when you leave and when you come back, what does that mean for Balyirah? And what is the significance? How broadly true is Re'iyah? What does Re'iyah mean here? And why should Re'iyah matter? Does it always matter? Or does it only matter here? So we'll stop here. I just want to do this quickly tomorrow. Look at the Marsha and the Marshal. Look at the Ritva very quickly. I'll try to make this point quickly. Of course, the connection to Shlosh Shem Yom more generally, something we should talk about very couple of minutes. And then let's start just sketching out as kind of preparation and or investment, for June. Lisa got Bodek Tzara Shibar. Okay? So Yitzhak Hashem will continue with that tomorrow.